Said, I struggled this week to entertain another theme in my small brain as I was preparing for the funeral on Friday. So this is a verse that I've always loved, and it came back to me again to remind me and encourage me. And so I want to speak on this passage this morning from Psalm 116. And from verse 15. But before we do that, why don't we pray? Thank you that, Lord, that when we gather here, we gather with your presence, with the indwelling and power and enlightening and teaching of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would instruct our hearts and make us more like Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would mold us and fashion us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we think about death, one of the questions that will often crop up, and Chris and I were just chatting about that this morning, is it good or a bad thing? Sometimes we find it really hard to see anything good in the death of someone, and particularly someone who's young or has died under tragic circumstances. And when we look at it, we think, well, that's just so sad, it's so tragic, and it's bad, and there's nothing good in it at all. And I think particularly if we think about Sarah's passing, it could be a tendency for us to think, here she is, she's a young mum and a daughter and daughter-in-law and friend, and she's passed away so young. And you know, when we took Sarah up to, she was buried in the Ardmore Cemetery, and as I stood there at the gravesite, just checking everything was ready and right, and we were ready to go, I looked around and I started looking at the gravestones, and I saw Mark's mum there, Nola, and then there was George McKenzie. Just a white cross there, and then over there is Aria McDonald, and then Hamish said, oh, this guy here, I didn't recognize the name, he's my uncle or grandfather or something like that. And so you know, we all are touched at some point, and all of you here have had to face that, or if you haven't had to face the death of somebody very close to you yet, you will one day. And it's good for us to think about it, to have a good view, because as I asked and suggested in my question at the beginning, it's sometimes easy for us to see it only as a bad thing. And even as Christians, we can get trapped into thinking, well, God surely wouldn't have wanted this to happen. God surely wouldn't want to take away somebody so young, or somebody so talented, or somebody so beautiful, or somebody who'd had so much ahead of them. Or maybe God didn't want them to die like that. And so that's why it's good for us to come to the Scriptures, so we can anchor ourselves in the Scriptures. Now, some people say, well, Jeff, you know, that can be kind of being intellectual or academic, but it's not. It's biblical, isn't it? And because when tragedies strike us, it's so important that we know what the Scriptures say, and we are able to stand on what the Scriptures say, so that we're not swept away by those waves of emotion and tragedy and circumstances that will sweep over us at some point in our lives. And so this passage here is wonderful. It says these words. In fact, got to be honest, I don't entirely this NIV is good. I think it's the new NIV, or maybe it's some other translation I saw, and this one is good. I was going to say I didn't like this translation, but this is good. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, by the way, if you're not a Christian this morning, it may sound a bit strange to you that we can use the word precious and death in the same sentence, but I want to try and explain what we mean by that, and what a Christian understands and believes by that. So this psalm is depicting, if you will, maybe imagine in your mind, somebody who's going up to the temple in Jerusalem, and they're coming with a sacrifice. They're coming with a sacrifice of thanksgiving to offer in the temple for a deliverance from some serious problems, whether it was a life-threatening illness or maybe the death of a loved one. And you can imagine this psalm being recited as a thanksgiving and testimony for somebody who just so realizes how much God has blessed them. In Scottish Presbyterian tradition, this psalm is often sung after people have come and sat at the Lord's table, and as they stand up from the Lord's Supper and they go back to their seats, they sing this psalm: I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. And so this psalm contains thanksgiving mixed with prayer, lament, confidence, and vows. And I just want to walk you through it so that I'm not pulling something out of context here and just pinning some ideas on a verse. It says that the psalm begins with this wonderful expression of love, which I just quoted, for answered prayer, verses 1 and 2. And he talks about being on his deathbed. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome with trouble and sorrow, and I called upon the Lord, and I said, Lord, save me. And so he called on God as his deliverer. The Lord is gracious. The Lord saved him, verse 6. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. And then it leads him back to his original story, because he says, you know, you, Lord, delivered my soul from death. His original story of being delivered when he was in distress and in great discouragement and in the fear of death itself. And he asks the question, how can I repay God? How can I give back to God for what he has done to me? And so he makes in verse 12 a vow, if you will. He says, I'm gonna repay to God. He says, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. So he makes that promise to say, hey, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to give thanks to God when next time I gather with God's people. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to testify to God's goodness and God's grace. And he goes on and he gives testimony to God in those words that we're going to look at. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And it's interesting that it's kind of that verse jumps out a bit, doesn't it? Because you notice at the start he's talking about how the Lord delivered him. He says, you know, the pangs of death came upon me and the cords of death were around me, and I cried out to God and I said, God save me, and God saved me. But then he says, in the midst of that, he says, but the death of God's saints is precious in his sight. And we're kind of going, well, wait a minute, we thought you were saying it was all good. We thought you got rescued from death. But now you're saying, but actually to die is precious. If you're a believer, if you're trusting in God, if you're one of God's holy ones, godly ones, that's somehow a precious and valuable thing to God. And then he goes on and he expresses total devotion and commitment to God. I am your servant. I'm the son of your maidservant, and you have rescued me. And I will sacrifice thanks offerings to you. And so to this verse here, this verse 15, that I don't normally just look at one verse, but sometimes it's nice to do that. This public confession and encouragement from the writer of this psalm. So he talks about the death of a Christian. And he makes this statement that the death of a believer is precious to God. And I guess I just want us to think through that. What do we mean by that? And there's just really two questions. I want to ask how that is and why that is. How is it that a saint's death is so valuable to God? He uses that word precious. Something that is expensive. Something that is a taonga, if you will. Something that is to be highly valued and treasured and highly regarded and comes at great price. And great expense and great cost to the possessor. I think these are the ideas that the writer of these words wants us to pick up on. Martin Luther said this, not Martin Luther King, the older Martin Luther. I think we're celebrating his 500th something or other this year, 1517 to 2017, when he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. He says this about these verses: the death of his saints is held to be of value and costly. And I want to give you three reasons why how this is so. I think the first and probably the most important idea is that when we think of a Christian dying, and if you think of a believer going to be with the Lord, God sees that death as something that is valuable and costly because it is something that he does not allow easily. It is not something that is just a side affair to God, or something that just is an everyday experience, or something that is ho-hum and unimportant to him. God doesn't lightly allow suffering and adversity to come upon his children. And the writer of the psalm, he knows about that. He's talked about the cords of death. He's talked about suffering. He's talked about being really down and the terrors of the grave and all of those things. He completely understands this, the reality of death. And God doesn't lightly allow us to go through that and to experience that. Psalm 79 verse 11 says, according to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are doomed to die. It's a cry of the heart to God, who has the control of both our life and our death. And so the lives and the deaths of God's children, of God's sons and daughters, are deeply, deeply precious to him and important to them. In Psalm 72, in verse 14, it says, their blood is precious in your sight, O God. And so this is something that is a great comfort to us, isn't it? That when you and I, when we come to die, or when someone we love passes away, or we hear about someone who is a Christian who passes away, and we think, wow, that I wasn't expecting that. How did that happen? They were that seems, we use that word untimely, don't we? Or we use the words like shock, or we use the word tragedy. And yes, those words can be used, and those words are true. But in God's sight, this is something, though, that is well thought out. This is something that is deeply meaningful to him. This is something that God is taking minute care of. And so none of God's people die prematurely, we can say, because he is the one whose deaths, they are precious to him. They are of high value. And something that is of high value, you just don't leave to chance, or you don't just disregard. If you've got something at home, you think of your most treasured possession, you think of these people in Christchurch, when they knew that their houses were being threatened by the fire, and they said, you've got to get out of there. What are you going to take from your house? Okay, take your husband or your wife, if you're married, or your children or your parents. What else are you going to take? Okay, pets, you might take your pets. You immediately, it's going to focus your mind, isn't it? You're going to think about, what are those things that I really don't want to lose? And it is the same with God, isn't it? As God looks at his children, their deaths are precious. God understands the grief of those who suffer loss. C.H. Spurgeon, famous Baptist preacher who died in 1892, he said this: the Lord watches over their dying bed, smooths their pillows, sustains their hearts, and receives their souls. And I'm reminded of someone we looked at the end of last year, didn't we? We that guy called Saint Stephen. Does anybody know who Saint Stephen is? He's the guy in Acts chapter 7. We don't tend to call him saint, but he's Saint Stephen, like you and I, we're saints. When Luke tells us about his death, because he died a horrible death, didn't he? He was stoned to death. They threw rocks at him until he died. But Stephen knew that this was about to happen. And he has this wonderful experience where we're told that he looks up into heaven and he says, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Wow. the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of God. Why was he standing? Because Stephen's death was precious to God. The Son of God himself had risen from his throne and was standing to receive Stephen into his throne room. That's how precious it was. And Stephen saw that. Precious in the sight of God is the death of the saints. But you say, but Stephen, he was being martyred, he was being executed, he was just a young man, and this rabble, this crowd, these people, these followers of this guy, Paul, Saul, they were going to kill him. That was precious in God's sight. The Lord was smoothing his pillow. And so Luke tells us, how did Stephen die? He fell asleep. He fell asleep as he said, Lord, receive my spirit. And so the death of a Christian is something that is precious because God loves them so much and superintends and watches over and values the whole process and that person and their soul and their life and their loved ones. The death of a Christian is especially precious to God, says Spurgeon again, that God views the triumphant deaths of his gracious ones with sacred delight. God delights in it, and it is holy to God. And God's love is seen most especially when his people are called to himself. God counts every tear. He notes every groan. He sees the pain and he sees the suffering of his people. It is precious to him. But I think there's another reason too why this psalm writer says that the death of a believer is precious. Remember, he's talking about testifying to God in the presence of the assembly. Remember, he's talking about, I want to stand up and tell God, everybody, God, how wonderful you are. I think that the death of a believer is precious in God's sight because it is something that testifies to the glory of God and is something that witnesses to God's amazing grace and his amazing kindness to his people. So it's a powerful testimony. If the lives of God's people are precious to God, then also their deaths are precious, and also their deaths teach us stuff, teach us something about God. Albert Barnes says that the death of a believer, the death of a righteous one, is a powerful testimony of two things. He says it's a testimony to the triumph of God, and he says it's a testimony to the reality of God's presence in our lives. What does he mean by that? Well, we see triumph in the death of a Christian. When you view someone who's a Christian and when they die, you see triumph because you know that actually their death is a victory, because their death is bound up with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when Jesus died on the cross, his body was laid in the tomb, but his body did not stay there. 3 days he rose again. And so the Apostle Paul could say, death is swallowed up with victory. And he can say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Because death is defeated. And so every believer, every Christian who passes away, it is a reminder. It's a reminder to everybody who's looking to say, this is victory. This is how God conquers the grave. This is how God conquers sin. And so that when the body is laid in the grave, you lay it in the grave, not forever, and you say, well, this is sad. We're putting this body in the grave and we're going to turn our backs and walk away and forget and say, well, that was sad, you know. But you lay their bodies in the graves until the resurrection. Until the resurrection. Until the trumpet sounds, until the Lord calls and returns for his own. And those who are dead in Christ are gathered to him. So it's a victory over death. It's a victory, and it's a demonstration of God's gracious love that gives us the victory. But it's also something that is as Barnes says, it's a reminder of the reality of God's presence. If you've ever been in that, with someone who's passing away, if you've ever been in that situation, you know that it really makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Makes you think about what really matters in life. Everything else kind of slips to the side, doesn't it? Everything else just fades out of the picture. And the only thing that matters is this life before you, this life that is just hanging there in the balance, this life that is waiting for the Lord just to beckon, to reach out the hand and take this loved one. And it's a reminder that God is present there. God is the one who is governing. God is the one who is watching over. God is the one, as Spurgeon says, who is smoothing their pillow. And he is the one who says, now is the time. Now you come to me. I know that was the case in the Cochrane's household this week. When Sarah passed away, there was just amazing sense of peace in the presence of God. The Lord was there in a very tangible and a very real way. And through the death of those whom we know and love and those that are in our families, we're drawn nearer to God and we're reminded of the reality of his eternal presence. And there's something of the mystery of life and death too, isn't there? So we shouldn't minimize, you know, we shouldn't say, well, that was just sad and that was just tragic and I hope I can forget about that. Or sometimes we say to ourselves, I don't want to be around, you know, I'm a bit scared, I don't want to go there, I don't want to go to that house, or I don't want to talk to those people, they've just lost their mum or dad or their child, I don't know what to say to them, or I don't want to barge in. And I understand all that, those are normal human feelings. But it's something that is precious in God's sight, and we can be there and sense the presence of God and see God at work and be blessed by that. It testifies, the death of a saint is precious because it testifies to God's triumph and also to his presence. And this third thing is it's precious in a way, I think, that would make us envious. Let me explain. Anybody see something recently that you think, oh, I'd really like that? Really like that? Really like one of those phones, one of those cars, one of those computers, ice cream, something like that. You know, a lot of the stuff we see and we go, oh, I wish I could have that. And then you say to yourself, yeah, it's a bit dear though. I really can't afford one of those, you know. Someone once loaned me a $120,000 car, someone in my family, to drive. And I was like, wow, I get to drive this car. And I'm driving this car around. And then after a while, I'm going like, yeah, this is a good car. I reckon I could have one of these. Yeah, I think I should have one of these cars after I'd driven it for a week. And then I started looking. I found myself looking on Trade Me. Ooh, how much to buy one of these cars? Oh, I can't afford that. Maybe second hand, only $60,000. And we're like, I can't afford that. That's crazy. What am I thinking? Too precious. I was envious of it. I was coveting it. And, you know, I think when we think of the death of a saint, there is something about the death of a saint that we look at it and we shouldn't feel embarrassed about this. We shouldn't think this is weird in any way. We should go, wow. I wish my death is like that. I want to be like that. That is wonderful. What a blessing. I hope I pass away like that. I hope that's me. Because that is so awesome. That is so amazing how they passed away. When you think of, you know, you think of Jacob, or you think of Stephen that we mentioned here, you know. Wouldn't you like to die like, I mean, Stephen, I don't want the stoning, but, you know, Lord, if you could give me that sense of peace and seeing you without that, wow, I'd love to have that. I'd love to pass away like that. I love reading about, you know, in church history, and you read about men like old Polycarp, you know, the Bishop Smyrna, and when he was set, they said to him, you know, just say Caesar is Lord, and you'll be right. You know, offer a sacrifice to Caesar, and we'll let you go on your way, old man. And he said, 80 and something years, I can't remember, have I served the Lord, and he has never done me harm. How can I deny the one who saved me? Well, you read about that and you go, wow, isn't that awesome? Polycarp. Wow, I wish I could be like Polycarp. I hope I'm going to be like Polycarp. All this, the covenanters, you know, who were captured with their Bibles or meeting in the valleys up in the highlands of Scotland and hunted down by the redcoats, the dragoons, and hauled off and then put in the square in the castle and tied to the stake and had the faggots, I love that word, faggots, had faggots put around them, set on fire, usually green faggots, and they, you know, they worshiped the Lord. They worshiped the Lord as they were, you know, as they were. They would say to their families would have to come, and they would say, goodbye, my wife, or my husband, my children. Goodbye, good book, God's word. I shall need you no more. And you go, and you read about that, and you go, wow, isn't that cool? Isn't that lovely? Isn't that precious? That's precious in God's sight. It makes us kind of want to be like that. It makes us envious. It makes us envious of Stephen and others. My second point is really, really short. The second point is why. Why is it that a death of a believer is precious? Well, it's because they're saints. They're saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, okay? Not death of those who work real hard, not death of those who say lots of prayers, not death of those who never do bad stuff, not death of those who keep all the Ten Commandments or anything like that. Death of the saints, those who are saved, those who are godly. God has brought them to himself. Somebody was telling me about a 90-year-old who was saying, oh, I wish I could do more. You know, I don't do enough to serve the Lord. And yet, that 90-year-old, what do they need to do for the Lord to accept them? Trust in him. To trust in him. To believe in him. And so here is a person who has received God's saving grace. Here is someone who has been brought out of death into life. Someone who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple faith. A gift of God that causes God's goodness to shine upon them with the eternal warmth and bring God's glory into their lives. And those are the lives of those that we know who pass away in Christ, who die. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That's what it means to be a godly person, a saint. Not someone who's got a special name, not someone who's born into a certain family, not someone who has certain certificates or education or anything like that, but someone who knows the Lord, who has received the grace of God. And so here's some words of a comfort and encouragement, I think, for us today. You know, we're all going to face death ourselves, or we're going to face the death of someone we love. You may have already been through that, or you will one day face that. And it's really, really important to understand this, that when someone you love and they're trusting in the Lord, when they pass away, their death is precious in God's sight. And you say to me, Jeff, what about these people I love who are not trusting in the Lord? Well, the Lord knows the hearts of each person. The Lord knows the hearts of each person. But it's also a reminder for us, and as Karen was sharing before, how she talks to her dad, it's a reminder to us to keep being faithful and encouraging those we know and love to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also a reminder to us that you and I will one day die in the Lord's timing. And yes, death is a valley that has a shadow that we have to pass through. That is true. I'm not going to try and pretend or say that, you know, it's going to be a breeze or no problems at all. But you need to know, believer, that your death is not something that is of no interest to God. Your death will be precious in God's sight, precious to God. And so therefore, you know, we should all want to make our death precious to God. You know, there's one death that was very precious to God. Whose death was that? Well, we read in the Gospel according to Luke, and in chapter 23, about the death of someone very precious, very special to God. And it says there that about the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." And when all the people who had gathered to witness this saw what had taken place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all of those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. That is what makes the death of a Christian precious, because there was one death, the death of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was precious beyond all measure. And immediately obvious to everybody watching, this was something different. This was something history-rending. And this was something that was totally unique, precious in God's sight, as the death of his saints, because God sent his only Son, who died on the cross for you and I, so that you and I might have a death precious to him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign in all of your ways, and you are sovereign even over death. And so, as we have gathered here today, conscious that our lives, Lord, are all written in your book, and our lives are bound up with your purposes and plans, your sovereign, holy will, Lord, as we reflect on these things, and as we think about those whom we know and love who have either passed away or will pass away like we will one day, Father, we want our deaths to be precious in your sight. And we thank you that this can be so because of one death, the death on the cross of your own precious, beloved, blessed Son, Jesus Christ. And that through faith, by us putting our trust in him, we too can be bound up in that bundle of life with him. We too are joined to the Lord Jesus, and we are precious in your sight. So, Lord God, make this so in our lives. Turn our hearts, draw our hearts out to yourself. Draw out the hearts of those we know and love and we pray for, longing that they too might come to know you. Make this so, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.